singing by and by.
Let the church say amen. Amen. God is wonderful again. He has blessed us to be here once again. And I'm kind of surprised at the turnout. I didn't think we'd have a whole lot out this morning because of the weather. But the weather is not as bad as it was the other day. So thank God we have been able to, the city has been able to plow the streets and we are able to move around again. So let us be thankful to God that he didn't send any more than he did, because we, for a while there, we were complaining we wasn't getting any. And now we got some and we're complaining again. I wish it wouldn't have snowed. So that's just the way people are. But nevertheless, we thank God that he has left us here this morning. And we want to thank him in all of our daily prayers that he has been good to us and has continued to bless us. The scripture was read for your hearing this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and the verses number 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, you have blessed us once again. You have sent your weather to us. You have cleared the weather for us. And you have made a way that we might be able to come out to the Lord's house this morning. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for your Son who, because he went to the cross, we have an opportunity at the tree of life. Thank you this morning for this local congregation here. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, as we move from one portion of these services to the next portion, we pray and ask you, Father, that if it be your will, that our services would be found faithful in thy sight. Father, we thank you for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We thank you for the brethren of this congregation who have taken part in these services and their families as well. And we continue to pray for those who shall come from this point on. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that all might be continued to be well with each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, for those that are sick and unable to be with us. We know that your will shall always be done. But we also thank you, O Lord, for some who were not with us for a while have returned to us, and we thank you for that as well. We thank you this morning, Father, for those who may be traveling this morning, that they may have your traveling grace, if it be thy will. We thank you for those who may have lost loved ones this past week or very recently here. We pray and ask you to strengthen them and that they may continue to be in the faith. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that all we can do and all you have said and all that we can do might be done in the name of you, O Lord. We thank you for everything, and it is in your Son Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. This morning, we know that there have been some who have been missing this morning, and we are glad to see them back, the Lewises. And we know that there are some who on last week we were reporting about they were sick as well. And Sister Jean Brown has seemed to be doing better now. And let's thank God for that as well. And thank God for all of those who may be sick. Unfortunately, as Sister Little stood up and made reference to Brother Darrell Lincoln on last week, she informed me this morning that Brother Lincoln has passed away. So let us remember Brother Lincoln in our prayers when we go to the Lord in prayer at your leisure time. This morning from that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 12, we want to use for a subject, remember the Lord. Christians are in a good position to know just what God can do for them if they live the Christian life. They know of the many promises of God. They may also have been a recipient of what God can do for us. But Christians must also be aware, or they may take God for granted and forget about him. In the text today, a signal or a warning is given to beware that you forget God. We must never allow things to get in the way of our remembrance of the one who has done so much for us and who is still doing so very much for us. We shall always be dependent on Him, and we will always have obligations, and we shall always need Him. We have become a society of obsession. We are obsessed with many things. We are obsessed with being thinner, leaner, and more health conscious, which is not a bad thing. In the process of all these different ways, and many have forsaken or forgot God. There's nothing wrong with taking care of our bodies, but we must remember these bodies belong to God. In our text, it deals with a warning to those people of that time, letting them to know they must be cautious that they do not forget God. So as with us, we must also guard against our hearts failing to remember how the Lord is, as well as how He has done for what He has done for us. So let us always remember God. We must always remember Him. The warning tells us in that particular chapter of forgetting about the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Sometimes life presents us with much sweet fruit. We tend to get caught up in it. But a red flag should pop up in our minds when we find ourselves in danger of forgetting the Lord. Do you remember Proverbs chapter 30, where the Bible says in verse number 9, lest I be full and deny and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now, what is the writer saying in that Proverbs text? In his prayer, he is saying that he neither wants to become so rich or so poor that he forgets God. So he prays that rather that neither condition comes upon him. In the end, he refers to God as my God, indicating that he does not want the challenge to challenge that relationship that he has with God. Too many live today as if they have never known God, or either they have forgotten Him. Some live as if there were no God, and even some do not believe there is a God. The only thing you can say about these people is that God Himself, as the Bible itself has said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's Psalms chapter 53 and verse 1. These are they who are corrupt, they who have not made the confession that they are sinners. They don't believe what they consider as gain should be counted as a loss for Christ, according to Philippians chapter 3. The world may want to pretend that God doesn't exist. By taking God out of the schools, they have taken prayer out of the schoolhouse. They want to pretend that God is not in the plan anymore. They want to pretend that man has this whole world in his own hand. The world is being warned today by the Word of God that we are all living in dangerous times. Men have become lovers of themselves, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But verse number 5 tells the whole story in 2 Timothy. We have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We are they who know the truth, but want to ignore it or have forgotten about the truth. So what is the warning once again in verse number 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 6? Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, these people were doing all that they could to try to forget God, and the warning was given to them that beware lest they forget the Lord, the one who brought you, the one who set you free, the one who brought you out from bondage. And we today, we must remember the Lord our God as well, because He has done so much for us. We must remember God's wrath. God can become an angry God. God can become a very angry God, and that's an awful thing to have the God that we know become angry at us and display His wrath upon us. The God that we serve is the God of all men, and He is a God who has a heaven and a hell to put us in. And for most of us would choose heaven as our final destination. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28, we see how that God in His anger gave them up over to a reprobate mind, to those things which are not convenient. Speaking of these who were not, or those who would not retain God because of their idolatry, their uncleanliness, and their vile affections, they did not retain God in their knowledge. A reprobate mind is a mind that is void of sense and judgment. You can't make the right sense of judgment out in your mind, so you become a reprobate. They were as many are today in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their hearts. Lest we forget the account of what happened in Genesis chapter 1, starting at around about verse 19, where how that the cities of Gomorrah and Sodom and Gomorrah became so bad that God destroyed the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. How that Abraham pleaded the case in Genesis chapter 18, how that if he would be allowed to pull out just 50 good people out of there, that the Lord would save the city. The number started with 50, and then it went all the way down to 10 righteous of whom could not be found. So in Genesis chapter 19, somewhere around about verse number 24 and verse number 25, the Lord rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember that incident in the Lord's Word, the Word of God in Genesis? If you do not remember it, you need to go and read it sometime for yourself. How that he destroyed these cities because he couldn't find even 10 righteous people. 10 righteous men, if you will. We must remember and never forget about the wrath of God. For the wrath of God can come down on us and it can be an awful thing. You don't want to make God mad, in other words. You want to try living your life the way God has asked that we live our lives. So when we look at, we don't want to forget his wrath. We don't want to forget him nor his wrath. This is the part that I want us to pay a little bit more attention to. We must believe his word. We must concentrate or believe that the word of God is the right thing for us to do. If we don't believe God's word, we may as well give up on getting to heaven. Give up on our faith, and we may as well tell the preachers to just button it up if we don't believe the Word of God. Because if we don't believe the Bible, then we're saying that Jesus was not raised from the dead. Hell and heaven are not real, and God is not the one we should be looking toward. And there is no hope left for us if we fail to believe the Word of God. When we fail to believe the Word of God, we are in deep trouble, church. We must believe his word. Every word in God's book must be believed. According to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18, that by two unchangeable or immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. We can be sure whatever is in the Bible, all the promises, all the hope, we can rest assured that it will be as God said they would be. When the Word of God tells us in Psalms chapter 24 and verse number 1 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, we can believe that. We can rest assured that what God says is true. The creation is not a screenwriter's dream for a new movie. It is the Word of God. It is the truth in the Word of God. When God tells us there is a place for those who do not believe, it's the truth. And then he tells us there is another place for those who do believe. That's the truth. That place is heaven, a place most Christians would want to go. Then there is hell for those who believe not. And I'm not going to say this morning that anyone wants to go to hell, but it appears that many are doing all that they can do to get there. When you do your best to get to hell, be careful because you just may wind up there if you're not very careful about it. These two places, what's the difference, somebody may say, between these two places? Both of them begin with an H-E. Both of them start out the same, but there's a great difference, and that's where the similarities end. Let me just say to you this. Hell is a place one would not choose to go on a vacation for a few days and spend a few days or a few nights there. It's the place where the lost will find themselves after the judgment. Matthew 13 and verse number 42 describes it as a furnace of fire where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8:12 calls it outer darkness. There are several words in the New Testament for the word hell, but the one I speak of is the word Gehenna, which is the one for the eternal resting place of the wicked. Heaven, on the other hand, is quite a different place. Not only would one want to choose it as a vacation spot, but it is beautiful. It's an eternal resting place. From the book of Revelation tells us that the city has the glory of God. The throne is there. It is a walled city with 12 foundations. The city is 1,500 miles and it's as wide as it is long. The foundation is of precious stone. There shall be no need for the sun or the moon, for God's glory will lighten it. Nothing that defiles what worketh abomination or maketh a lie shall be or enter into heaven. God shall wipe away all of our tears. This is what God's truth and God's word tells us. And we've got to believe that. If you're not careful, you will forget the word of God. And I'll tell you something. By forgetting the word of God is easy if you never open it at your house. If you only open it when you get to the Lord's house, you got a problem. Because I can read from my book and read to you what the Bible says, but that's not doing you any good if you're not studying for yourself. That's not doing you any good if you don't know if I'm standing here telling you a lie or not. It's not doing any good if I quote one scripture and I tell you it's in one place and you go there and can't find it, then you can't even correct me if you don't know. And sometimes the preacher needs correcting too. Sometimes the elders need correcting. Sometimes the deacon and the members need correcting in a church because none of us are totally perfect. None of us, no man is perfect. Some of us, and not some of us, but any of us can make a mistake at any time. But when you believe the word of God, there are no mistakes in God's word. There are no mistakes for you, and people for many centuries have tried their best to find contradictions in the Bible. But contradictions of the Bible are not there because God didn't make any mistakes. So we've got to be careful, for the text says in verse number 12 once again, beware lest you forget the Lord. Do you want to forget the Lord? I think not. I think not. I think that forgetting the Lord is a danger that we can all be placed in if we're not very careful. And I understand and I know that sometimes it seems as though there's just so much, it's so overwhelming in God's Word. It seems as though no matter what I read and no matter what I study, no matter how hard I read and no matter how hard I study, I just can't seem to get a grasp on God's Word. Well, you know what? Go back, ask the Lord in your prayer before you start studying God's Word that you have a better knowledge of it. And don't be afraid to pick up the telephone and call somebody. Or in today's world, you can do research on the Internet and find God's Word. You can find and learn God's Word, but once you have learned it, you must believe God's Word. The teachers and the preachers stand before you each and every Lord's Day and talk about the Word of God, talk about how we're supposed to be living our lives to match what the Word of God tells us to do. And then some people will leave the congregation after the services are over and go right back to living the same old life that they were living before they heard the teachers and the preachers and all of those other Christians who are trying to help them along the way. But we must be aware, because lest thou forget the Lord. Be aware that you don't forget the Lord. Be aware, church, because God's word is truth. God's word will never ever change. People will change and they will try to change the word, but the word of God is here now and it's going to be the same everlasting. There will be no new revelations found for the word of God. There will be nothing new coming out from God's Bible, only something new that man has called himself translating. Those who are believers have to look forward, but we must remember God, or we'll find ourselves on a one-way trip to hell. Now, I'm not saying that all believers are going to heaven, and I'm not saying that all non-believers are going to hell, because anybody can change along the way. But change must come before the end comes. We can't live a fairy tale existence and think that we are assured of heaven as our home. Nor can we live an evil life until the very end, thinking that God won't send us to hell. Either the Word tells us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We already know this. We already know this. We already are made to understand, if you study God's Word, that none of us can be perfect. And I know that many of us strive and we try real hard to be good Christians. And we strive and we try to be good people. We strive and we try to be the best people that God has ever produced. Some of us say, I'm going to make my way to heaven. I'm going to make sure that I get in there. And sometimes we find ourselves overdoing it to the fact that we find ourselves falling out of the race. And if you fall out of the race, you must pick yourself up and get going again. If you fall out of the race, you can't win it because you have fallen, and you've got to pick yourself up and get back into the track, or on the track of life, as we say. But the Bible once again says we must beware. Beware of what? Beware of Satan. Beware of the evil doings and the evil things that can come up in our lives. Beware, for God knows our hearts, and we must learn to use our hearts and our minds to please God. Didn't the Bible tell us that we must love God with all of our heart and our souls? Didn't it tell us to love our neighbors the same? Now, I know some of us don't like our neighbors. Some of us could care less about loving our neighbors. But you know something? Neighbor doesn't refer to the person only that lives next door to you. Neighbor refers to the person down at the other end of the block whom you don't know. But you must carry yourself like you want him to see the Lord in you. We must not forget about God. And when the Saturday evening party rolls around, we must not allow ourselves to be caught up and all of the revelry that goes on. Do you remember the prodigal son? How that he went off and led a life where he wanted to just live it up. But he eventually came back home, did he not, church? He came back home because he understood where he needed to be. He found himself eating out of the pig pen. He found himself not being with his father. And he missed it. You know, a Christian is out of place when he's not somewhere serving the Lord. A Christian is out of place when he's not doing the Lord's will. A Christian is out of place when he has forgotten about the Lord. So I tell you this morning, church, we must realize that when it comes to serving the Lord, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that we don't stray. We've got to be careful that... Now, am I saying to you that you must do every single thing right? You're not going to do every single thing right. There's always some weakness in all of us. And we have a carnal mind in most of us. We all have a carnal mind. And sometimes the good outweighs the bad, and we want to do bad, but we know that's not right. So we try to do good, and the bad outweighs us doing that good. Paul talked about it. It's in all of us. But we must learn to control our minds and our bodies and our hearts. We must learn that God is the only way for us to get to heaven. And heaven, let's go over with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. Go over with me to the book of Revelation and about verse number 20. Actually, you can read at home chapter 21 and chapter 22. But look at verse number 22, chapter 22, where it says in verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street on either side of the river There was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree was for the healing of the nation. But I like verse number 3 where it says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their forehead. There shall be no night, there shall be no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever." Isn't that a wonderful thought, church, that we can live forever with the Lord our God and our Savior Jesus Christ in heaven? Won't that be wonderful, church? We sing the song all the time. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? And many of us, we sing it like we really mean it. We sing it like we definitely want to get there. But we've got to be very careful. If we want to get there, we've got to be careful that we don't forget about God. Forgetting about God is a biblical sin. The Bible has warned us right there that if we are not aware, we will forget God. And if you forget God, you're in trouble. Do you remember the New Testament, I should say, where Jesus was on trial for His life and Peter was standing around the fire, and Peter did what? He denied God. He denied the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wasn't a perfect man. He may have been a good man. I can't vouch for his status, his character there, but I only know about what the Bible teaches us. And he appeared to be a good man, but he denied the Lord. He denied God. He said, "I wasn't with Him." So I asked the question this morning, are you with Him this morning? Or have you forgotten about Him? And would you, if it was brought to your attention, would you say, "I don't know Him, I wasn't with Him"? Or would you say, "Yes, I'm with Him, and I'll stand up for Him no matter how bad the times or how tough the times get"? Do you remember, church, how that Jesus carried His cross and went up on Golgotha's hill? How that they stretched Him out and they nailed the nails in His hand and in His feet? How that He looked down from the cross and said, "Father, forgive them." And a lot of us don't want to forgive our neighbors. A lot of us don't want to forgive our Christian brothers and sisters when they do something to us. But Jesus asked His Father to forgive those who were crucifying Him or who were about to crucify Him. But yet, we forget God sometimes. Sometimes we say, "If I just do it just this one time, God won't know about it." But if you can tell me anything that God doesn't know about, I'd like to hear it from you. Because God remembers everything. God knows everything, and God sees everything. So we've got to be aware. We've got to be aware that we don't forget Him. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6 and 12 again, it says, "Beware lest you forget about God." I don't know about you, but as for me, and I can only speak for me, as for me, I don't want to forget Him. Am I doing everything perfectly right? No, I'm not. Have I failed miserably? Yes, I have. Am I going to fail some more? Perhaps I will. But in my mind, in my heart, and in my wisdom, I know that God will make a way. I know that I can get it right with God if I just would do it before my time is up. See, when my time is up, I'll be like the rich man was in the book when he was kept questioning Abraham about letting Lazarus go do this or letting Lazarus go do that for him. And he forgot that it was too late. I should have studied God's Word and lived God's Word while I'm here. I can't live, study, nor think about God's Word anymore. I can remember, but I can't do anything about it. So I ask the question of you this morning, will you remember the Lord? Will you not forget Him on Sunday evening because you are not in service anymore? Will you remember Him on Monday morning when you go to work and get with the coffee crowd? Will you remember Him around the water cooler?
Or would you say, I didn't do nothing yesterday. I just kind of stayed home. Will you deny him like that? Or will you be like some who are the folk who come in church and just say, I wanted to go to church just so I could say I was there. I didn't get nothing out of it because I don't understand the preacher and I don't like most of the folks in there, but I wanted to be at church. Then why don't you just stay home? Because if you're not getting anything from the service, that means your mind, you didn't come with an open mind and an open heart to receive the engrafted word. I may not be the best preacher out there. The teachers may not be the best teachers in the land, but if they're trying, if they're doing their best, what else can you ask for? You're not standing up there teaching or preaching, so they're doing the best that they can. Beware, at least we forget and fail to remember the Lord. Fail to remember how good He has been to us. Fail to remember just what He has done for us. And I think about it each and every time I roll out of the bed, how good He was to me by sending grace to watch over me on last night, by sending love to tap me on the shoulder and get me up, by sending His mercy because He knows that I'm a weak individual. He knows that we are weak, so He sends His mercy and His love and His grace to allow us that we won't forget Him. But some of us, we just can't get past that me part. See, if I can move me out the way, I've solved 99% of my problem. Because if I can get, if I get out of my way, I'm all right. Because someone said it well this morning. I heard somebody saying this morning that it's not Christ, it's not me who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And if I allow Him to live in me, that means I'm going to not allow myself, I'm going to beware and not allow myself to forget the Lord. So if you're on the verge of forgetting the Lord this morning, I suggest to you that you renew yourself with the Lord. How do I get in and renew myself with the Lord? Well, you ask the Lord to bless you and give you the strength. And the book of James said, if you don't have wisdom, you ask the Lord for it. He'll give it to you. But you ask for this wisdom that you may ask the Lord to bless you to continue to serve Him and do the right thing and stay on the right track. But if you've never been to the Lord, you ought to come to Him. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you have been to Him, but you strayed away from Him, that's what I was talking about. Then you go to Him and ask Him to give you the strength and this courage that you need to stay with Him. And then you ask the church to pray for you. And some folk, I think they're ashamed to ask the church to pray for you. Well, I got news for you. Everybody in here needs prayer. Every single person in here needs prayer. From up there in the pulpit all the way to the back door, we need prayer. And if you say you don't, you've just lied. Prayer is one of God, is the way we communicate with God. And if you're not going to forget Him, then you'll know that you need to pray to Him. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Ask me not, O gentle Savior.